I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Bretton Cliffs Flea Circus. I'm Admiral Musquay.
Hello, Admiral.
Hello.
How are you doing?
All right, I must stress, it's not a rank, it's just my first name.
All right, okay, that's fair enough. And I'm Fred Housego.
Okay, that's an amazing name. I'm a big fan of Fred Housego.
Yes, there you go.
Brett, this is at least the second time we've tried to record this. Sorry, Fred. This is at least the second time we've tried to record this. We got interrupted by...
We did indeed.
My child being ill. So
yes, it happens.
Hopefully it's all right today. Hopefully she's better. Because
I hope so.
I can't be bothered to try and do this again, mainly.
Ever. No, I can't either. It's this or it's never again, isn't
yeah,
it, Cliff?
Definitely. Also, I wanted to talk to you about the beer I was about to introduce you to the other day. I'm drinking Baltas.
Baltas.
By right. Sviteris.
Sounds like a disease, doesn't it? Does it taste like a disease?
Or a sex target.
A sex target? It could be a sex target? A sexual target?
That sounds sinister. That's not what I meant.
It does sound sinister. But, I mean, we could all be a victim of a sex targeter, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's Lithuanian beer. It is a pint
That explains
can.
It then.
And it's 5%. I have found out that if I have more than one of these cans, I get extremely slow.
Oh, is that why you were slow walking to the shops? I thought it was because of your intake of magic mushrooms or that picture that you put on.
No, the mushrooms.
You had a drink and you were given mushrooms with a drink.
Mm-hmm. Poking out the top.
Just normal mushrooms.
It was a cocktail. It had a layer of red wine and mushrooms poking out the top.
That's stupid, that, isn't it? What's going on there?
It was quite nice.
Jesus.
But yeah, I've been very slow. And I put it down to this beer. I had three cans yesterday. I didn't feel drunk, but I just couldn't do anything.
Do you not think it's just age has finally caught up with you, Cliff? Do you not think that's where it is? I think it's a possibility.
I need an experiment without the beer then and see if I'm still slow.
Well, I guess so. But I would imagine that you're just slow.
Anyway,
you're just slow
what
now.
What have you been up to? Tell us.
I was telling you about Liverpool, wasn't I?
Yes, you've been to Liverpool for your birthday. A year late.
Yes, it was good. We did all the Beatles stuff and that. And we're sitting on the Magical Mystery Tour. The tour of Liverpool, where you go to all the Beatles' houses and stuff like that. Very good. And we're just about getting to the cabin. And I just had a little look out the window. There was a young scallywag making the wanker sign out.
Are you?
Young Liverpoolian scallywag.
Oh, so, a hoodlum.
Yeah. A hoodlum. I hope he's happy with himself. Do you know what I mean?
Was it directed at you particularly or just...
Well, like, I would imagine it was... It was at the whole bus, to be perfectly honest. To be honest, the egg's on his face because he's probably going to end up working in the leisure and tourism industry when he's older. So they.
And probably had a wank when he got home himself. So
I probably did. And when we got back to the hotel, a good thing about being away, doesn't matter where you are, is watching the telly, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It's a good thing.
Different telly. And we'll have Mastermind on. And it's got a new presenter, Clive Myrie, who's TV. He reads the news and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, see what you think of the way that he confirms the right answer to the question.
Are you going
to
record it?
He does it twice.
Oh, you're putting the
605-foot tall Space Needle built for the 1962 World's Fair is a feature of the skyline of which West Coast American city?
Seattle.
Yes. What surname was used by the Bronte sisters when they chose male pseudonyms for the original publication of their works?
Seattle.
Yes. Which American?
Yes.
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 Do you think he's dismissive?
No, he's quite happy that they've got the right answer. Yes.
Oh, what do you laugh at? Like you're dismissive. Like, yes, well, of course, you should have gotten that right.
Is that the way that you
really? I think you don't really deserve a point for it, even.
Yes.
That would be my interpretation of that.
It could be right. Could be right. There you go. That's Clive Myrie.
Do I sound the same, Brett, on the microphones?
I would say so. Yes, you sound like you do in the general open air.
I've had a. Okay, I've had a different approach to the wiring today. So,
well, you've wired things up differently.
Yes, because I had an issue with the sound, and I don't know if it's resolved yet. So,
sound all right to me. Okay, have you managed to give yourself an electric shock by doing that?
No.
When was the last time you were electrocuted, Cliff?
About a year ago, maybe about. Oh, a year yes, and a half.
At work.
At work.
That's what made you slow.
It was really big. It was a big, big one.
It was a big shock. I remember you saying that.
And moved. My whole body moved backwards. I'm very wary. Very wary of plugs now. After that, that was quite scary.
He has an interesting question. Are the plugs the same in Dubai as they are in England, Cliff? Are them daft ones?
No, yeah, they're the same.
No, not like, because the American ones are different, aren't they?
The same three points.
Mm-hmm. Three-prong.
Three-prong plug.
Well, there you go. You should be safe.
Got a couple of records by them in my mum's loft, I think.
Three-prong. Three-prong heart attack. Heard of them. They're good, aren't they?
I watched The Batman yesterday.
Yeah, what did you think of The Batman?
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it?
Was that?
He's very moody in that, isn't he? And he appears from the shadows.
Oh, I've got to do the Batman stuff and that again. Yeah. Fucking idiot. Big boots. Can't be honest with this.
He's got really big boots, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. You know what I liked about it? That it looked quite low budget, like the moves and that.
The moves? the fight moves? The
special moves, yeah.
Uh-huh. I think the start of it, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but the start of it's probably the best bit with there's like a someone comes out the shadows right at the start, and it's quite scary, isn't it? But yeah, I thought it was all right.
I think there's definitely a bit more horror elements in this than there has been in previous Batmans, I think, with the baddies and stuff.
And
it's not as much about special effects and like a huge, silly, like Bane and all of that kind of stuff, is it?
The car was good.
Just look like a hard car, normal car, but hard.
It was very loud, and I like that about it. All right.
I thought it was good. I thought he was good in it. I think the direction's good. Like when you're just doing the same story over and over again, which seems to be just accepted now. At least I know it's different strands of Batman books and stuff, but essentially, you just start again with a new story every time, don't you? So I think you've got to approach it differently. And I think Matt Reeves did. Christopher Reeves' son?
Let's hope so.
It is.
Tell him to keep away from the horses. It's not his son, is it?
I thought
Matt Reeves was English.
He is.
How's Christopher Reeves American then?
I think he was just born in England. His mum was English. Right?
Is it? I don't know about that. But I'll trust you. There you go.
I read it and I trusted what I read.
In what publication did you read this fact?
Just on like a toilet wall and that. It said for more facts, call this number.
And you did you? And he didn't get any sex sex breathing down the phone.
Facts.
Right? That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
That's it.
I watched a couple of films actually recently. I watched a Western. I say I watched it. I watched an hour of it because it was absolutely atrocious.
Not this stupid Idris Elba, what is it?
It's not got Idris Elba in. It's got Benedict Cumberbatch in.
Not bothered.
It was absolutely shocking.
It won an award, didn't it? Jane Campion.
It was a for Oscars and that.
I think the director won Best Director.
I mean, he's just scouring at the screen all the time, is Cumberbatch, right?
Uh-huh.
He's supposed to be some mean rancher guy. The worst thing he does is upset a boy in the first hour. That's all he does.
What does he do?
He sets his paper flowers on fire. That's it. That's not very mean.
I don't like the sound of it, to be honest. I'm not interested.
Well, don't watch it. It was like pulling teeth.
What else,
honestly,
then?
Honestly, it was absolutely shit. I've watched quite a few things. What else have I watched? I can't remember now. I've watched that much stuff. I started watching Picard.
Started watching the first series of it.
It's not very good.
Slow, isn't it?
Really slow. And pretty boring as well.
Yeah.
Now it happens.
Yeah, it's about like international space wrangles, isn't it?
It's like the first Star Wars prequel, where it's about trade routes.
He's trying to get his good name out of the mud.
Aye. So out the mud. And he's too old now, isn't he? He can hardly move. I mean, how old is he now? He's kind of aging.
He was old when Next Generation came out in the early 90s.
I think he's always just looked old, hasn't he?
He must have been in his 40s.
A very bold man. The Next Generation, he must have been in his 40s, aye. So now he must be like in his 80s or something.
90 Can't do something, any like, something like that, 90 or something.
Can't do any backflips. Put it that way.
Still right, I need to do them.
Well, he's the best, isn't he? He's the best at action. We all know that, don't we?
Anyway, what we're talking about today, right? Anyway, man.
What we're talking about, we're talking about something that we're going to talk about when you came up, but we trashed the idea completely.
We'll put it on the back burner. We did the Oasis
stuff, put it on the back burner, yes. So we're talking about King of Kong.
Hang on.
Oh, no.
Can you just move it?
What now?
Can you just move it to the front hub?
You're not supposed to use the front hobs.
Why
you
not?
You burn your hands off.
Why do they make them then?
I don't know.
Not supposed to, according to who? Your wife?
No, not my wife. Just like my own intuition, I would say.
Okay, right.
Don't use the front hobs.
Right, all okay? right. Sorry, well.
Unless it's a big cook.
Leave it on the back burner.
And it's necessary.
But turn it up a bit, so.
All right,
let's
increase the temperature. So yes, it's the King of Kong. That's what we're going to talk about, which is a documentary about Donkey Kong.
A fistful of quarters.
A fistful of quarters, exactly, which you'd need if you want to play on Donkey Kong, wouldn't you? Or a fistful of five pence.
It's good, isn't it?
We used to have. It is good, yes. So I was addicted to watching documentaries a few years ago, and this is one of the ones that I watched. And yeah. I thought it was excellent.
2007 documentary by Seth Gordon. You know who he is?
He's a documentary maker, isn't he? That's all I know about him, really. Like, he's made other documentaries about New York Dolls and stuff, I think.
He's made telly as well.
Has he? Has he gone on to do
and
other
film,
stuff?
He's the director of Horrible Bosses.
Well, that's rubbish, though, isn't it? Horrible
and Four
Bosses.
Christmases.
You always talk about Horrible Bosses.
I'll give it any excuse to bring it up.
Yeah, you do. You constantly talk about horrible
bosses.
He's
the director
of
that. You chose this.
Is
and he's also the director of Baywatch, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, I haven't seen that.
And on telly, he's directed episodes of Community, The American Office, Parks and Recreation, Modern Family.
Quite a resume.
Yeah, he's pretty well done. And documentary-wise, haven't seen any of the other ones, I don't think, but probably worth looking at. This is anything to go by.
Yeah, you should check them out.
Carry on.
Check them out, man. Yeah, carry on. So this is basically a story of a rivalry between a legend gamer. No, I'm not stopping.
No, stop.
And a new upstart as they battle to become Donkey Kong champion. There you go. Upstart. New upstart.
One of the other documentaries, if you haven't seen it, you absolutely should watch it. I don't know why he said he didn't direct it. I don't know why it's
just
I don't know. It's called Finders Keepers. Have you seen this?
Has it got Neil Buchanan in it?
No, he's a producer of it. It's I'll read you the description of it. Like, I've seen it. It's amazing. The story details John Wood's attempt to recover his mummified leg from Sharon Wisnant after Wisnant found the leg in a grill purchased at a storage unit auction.
I have heard about it. Our friend Wardy was telling us about it, and I couldn't actually find it. I searched for it, but I couldn't find it because he says it was on Netflix or whatever.
Okay, I must have seen it. Flash in the pan or something. Anyway, back to the King
Flash of in Kong. The pan. Now, are you always talking about pans and stuff as well, aren't you? Pans and hobs and that. Don't know what the fuck's wrong with you today.
Jesus.
Pans. Grills, you know, how you can cook with spatulas, stuff like that.
Come on, so King of Kong, you've told
yes,
you've
King of Kong. About Billy. I've said what's about.
So the two main players in it are Billy Mitchell, the established.
He's the legend.
He's the legend who's had a high score on Donkey Kong since the 80s, and then along
since
comes
82.
Steve Wiebe?
Yes, Steve Wiebe. The challenger, the upstart.
The challenger, the young upstart who's but a 30-something-year-old.
He is a 30-something-year-old. And he gets laid off from his job and he finds that he has a little bit of time on his hands. So what do you do when you've got a bit of time on your hands? You challenge the Donkey Kong champion, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You get a board or whatever. In your garage, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. Play Donkey Kong forever.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Donkey Kong, Cliff?
Yeah, but not on an arcade game. I must have played it on a NES back in the day.
Yeah, I used to have a handheld thing, right? And I think you used to have a watch with it or something like that. It was one of the first handheld games I'd ever
played on. Yeah.
And it folded up.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a maroon colour on the outside.
Yeah, and they had different ones, didn't they? Donkey Kong was one of them. That would have been what I played it on.
Can you remember being any good at it? Because it's one of the hardest games ever, apparently.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I don't like it because I'm not very good at it. I'll be honest.
As one of the guys says in this lovely documentary, that's a mischievous ape.
That is a mischievous ape. It was meant to be called Monkey Kong, wasn't it?
Monkey Kong.
I think it was meant to be called Monkey Kong, but somebody's just hit typo or something and called it Donkey Kong. I'm pretty
called
sure.
It Donkey Kong instead.
I'm pretty sure.
It's the first Mario game, isn't it? It's the first game that Mario was in, where he's got to save the princess and that. That's a bit of a fact for you. Mm-hmm. It's not about pots and pans, but will you accept that?
There's barrel. I'm all right with barrels.
You're all right with barrels? Good. What about fireballs?
Well, not as much, but yeah.
You don't like fireballs?
We'll skip over the fireballs.
What, they come out of pots and pans? Have you ever had fireballs?
Trouble, isn't it? Trouble.
It's trouble. See, that's what happens when you put the front hob on. Fireballs will happen. Everybody knows that. So, yes, a documentary about that, which you would just think would be shit. Because it sounds a little bit shit, doesn't it?
It's very good. They don't actually tell you like the timelines of this stuff, does it? Or the years.
I think that's one of the issues that I think Billy Mitchell has with this particular documentary.
Oh, does he?
Among others.
I would imagine he's got quite a few issues with it.
Yeah, I can imagine that he would. Because he claims that it's edited out of sync and stuff like that.
Okay.
He's been made to look like, you know, the bad guy. And Steve Wiebe's made to be the sort of good guy and stuff like that.
I don't know if Steve Wiebe's a good guy or not, but I've got serious reservations about Billy Mitchell.
What are those reservations? First of all, he has a wonderful stance when he's talking to the ladies, doesn't he?
Legs. He's got a very high leg. One leg is quite high. Uh-huh.
He looks like a lion. He looks like he could be in the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees cover band.
His hair is too straight and thin. He would never make a Bee Gee.
He's got the teeth.
He could pass for
and
a
the
Morris.
Beard.
Maybe he could be Morris, but he's no way is there he Barry. Go. He's not a Barry Gibb.
Well, maybe he's not a Barry,
his
but beard's he could be
too his beard's too perfect. I'm not a fan of his beard. Also, he's had, uh-huh. This is what I mean about the years and stuff, when this takes place, he has the exact same hair and beard for his entire life.
Yeah, well, if you look that stylish, why change a thing about you? That's what I see.
Apart from the old clips of him as a teenager when he's just got a moustache.
There's that. When it was just T-shirts instead of USA ties and green
when he was just in a T-shirt and jeans instead of dressed like a sinister salesman, which is what he is.
Sinister sailor. So, yeah, it starts off, I think it produces, obviously, those two characters, doesn't it? Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe.
I think it spends a bit of time with Billy first, doesn't it? And then it builds up his legend.
So yeah, so it kind of tells you that he's held the record for Donkey Kong since 1982, when Life magazine did like a big article about all these gamers and stuff like that. And he met a guy while he was being interviewed by Life magazine, who's now his best mate, called Steve Sanders. He submitted a score, but it was fraudulent.
Which one is he in, I think?
He's the lawyer fella who's always knocking around. Do you know him?
He's not the guy giving him the live updates at the end.
No. That's Brian Pugh, yes. We'll talk about him a little bit later. So what happens is they become best friends because Billy Mitchell finds out his little ruse by beating him at Donkey Kong or whatever, doesn't he? And then he's like his best mate and his lawyer or so much.
gives him advice on how to successfully cheat at this game. That's what he does.
Well, we'll get to that bit.
But he says that at the start, doesn't he? He says, look, I knew he was cheating. He knew those tricks. He knows all those tricks. We decided to let me be the main guy and he could like guide us and stuff and he could be the sounding board. So, pretty much
I don't think he's saying at the start he's telling us how to cheat, because I don't think in actual fact the method that he uses to cheat was invented at
I think he's sowing the seeds that he's happy to use the dark arts of gaming to his advantage.
Well, put it this way, my friend Billy Mitchell has one hell of an ego, doesn't he?
Just a bit.
What was you were telling me the bit about why he says that this issue was a lot like the abortion issue?
Oh, yeah, I've got a few quotes from him here. He said, it doesn't matter what I say, it draws controversy. It's sort of like the abortion issue. Doesn't matter which way you fall, you end up being a son of a gun.
Son of a gun. And then he's banging on about the Red Baron and stuff like that, isn't he? And These pilots in World War II and stuff
analogies
like that.
Go on too long. They're so mixed up. They're really bad analogies. There is one bit where he says, I think these guys would like to see us just lose all the time. Maybe I'll try it someday.
Yes. So that's the type of character that Billy Mitchell is. It, not only that, his ego is being fueled, isn't it? By a whole array of characters that we meet as well.
A bunch of sycophants.
Yes, including Mr. Sanders originally.
Originally, yeah. Then there's a whole load more.
There is indeed. One of them is called Brian Q, who you mentioned before. And also the guy who runs the whole show of collating the records of these arcade games, Walter Day, who's the referee or something.
Wonderful Walter Day.
Yes,
what
he dresses
a
in.
Lovely man.
He is a lovely man, him, isn't he? He's a little bit too trusting, would you say?
He's a bit too trusting, and I think he's easily led by Billy.
I think he is.
He's meant to be the independent founder and gamekeeper of these records. Yeah.
Yes.
If Billy Mitchell goes, you can't let him have that record. I mean, who's to know he didn't cheat? And he goes, yeah, good point. And then Billy Mitchell goes, however, I've got a massive score. And he's like, okay, Billy, let me just update this website to say you're the champion. Like, what? If I was Steve Wiebe, to be fair, for a start, that's not how he pronounces his name, but nobody makes any attempt to get it right.
It is Wiebe, but they keep saying Wiebe, don't they?
Oh, it's Wiebe. Yeah, they call him Wiebe. Until they present it with an award, and then he's like, it's not actually how you pronounce your name.
Because... yeah, he's the next character, isn't he? Yeah, Steve Wiebe, who is the challenger in effect. He's been laid off and he's decided to try and break the record of Donkey Kong or whatever that's held by this Billy Mitchell.
His family painted a picture of him as being some kind of like genius, like an untamable genius.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously talented and stuff, isn't he? He's like, because he's played the piano and stuff like that. He's obviously got musical talent. I would say he
shows more signs of autism than genius.
Well, he's a teacher on that now, so...
Yeah, you know, what does he teach them about?
Science?
He teaches them about his high scores and every single clip. Shows him I'm teaching. He's talking about Donkey Kong.
So it's he's billed as like this talented guy that always seems to fail at the last sort of hurdle or whatever, doesn't he? He's been a baseball player, a football player, and just when he's about to reach his goals, he was in the first Seattle sort of grunge band and stuff like that as well. And just when he's about to reach his goals, he seems to fall at the last, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So that's how he's been billed. Mm-hmm. So he is attempting to get this high score, and he does get the high score, doesn't he? He breaks the record.
He's alone in his garage where he's got a Donkey Kong arcade machine, and he's been filmed doing it, or he set up a camera while he does it. I don't really know like who's filming all of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've got to set up a camera and then send it off to
the documentary. Like Seth Gordon wasn't filming all of this stuff from the 80s to the 2000s. So somebody's been filming it over the years.
Yeah, well, I mean, the stuff from the 80s, I think, was like on the news and stuff like that, wasn't it? So that's how they're getting that type of footage, I think.
Well, anyway, so Steve Wiebe's getting filmed making this score while he's meant to be looking after his kids.
And
his son, you can just hear shouting, he's had a shit and he needs his dad to come and help him wipe his bum, doesn't he? His little boy's bum. And he's going, Dad, come on, I'm finished, I need your help. And he's going, yeah, whatever, son, just on 800,000 points here. I need to get to a million, so can you just hang on? And he's like, what about Dad? And he does get the high score, but he lets his son just sit on the toilet with his little dirty bum bum for about an hour while he does that.
What he also says is, bring us some toilet paper then. What? That's not a good plan, is it?
No.
That isn't a good plan. That's not how it works in the toilet, is it? So, yeah, that was pretty bad. But he does break the record or whatever, and he sends his tape off to these people at Twin Galaxies, because that's what it's called. Up
by Walter Day, who looks like he could have been, I don't know, a backing singer for the Beach Boys in the 1960s.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. He's got a lovely, like, kind of, I'm going to say he's from LA. I don't know. He's got a lovely West Coast way about him.
I thought he was from Iowa.
Maybe it's just because he wears a black and white stripy top all the time. I think he's in the Beach Boys.
Maybe.
And also he's got a deputy, hasn't he, who reviews all of the tapes. A guy called Robert Mrchek. What I'll say at this point is...
I thought it was called Backpack or something.
If you see a picture of any of these men, you wouldn't be surprised that they spend all their days looking at old videos of people playing Donkey Kong, would you?
You certainly wouldn't. It's what Hunter S. Thompson would call hired geeks.
Yeah, I think you're right. Billy Mitchell's hired geeks.
That's exactly what they are, isn't it? They're very stereotypical of what you would imagine.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit weird. Jane was like, don't tell us these guys are the champions. I was like, yeah. How can you tell?
I know, exactly. So it is very stereotypical in that sense, isn't it? But they're the guys playing the games, aren't they? What they're meant to do.
Yeah, they've got the records, so.
Exactly. So, yeah, the tape sent off on that, but they won't accept the tape because he's got to do it live, hasn't he?
So you've got to do it live. We can't accept the tape on this, even though they seem to accept tapes because one of these men, Robert Muchek, has an apartment full of videotapes that people send him saying, hey, have a look at the score of this.
He's got a plethora of videotapes. So does he do anything else, Robert Muchek?
What else does he do?
I don't know. Is that it? Is that his job?
I think that's it.
Nobody takes a paycheck at Twin Galaxies, according to Billy Mitchell.
So Billy Mitchell says, oh, well, hang on. Nobody knows who this guy is. Nobody seen him do it live. Not like me when I got my record 20 years ago.
I've been living off
ever since, because he won't do it again, will he? He won't play it again. Yeah. So he's now.
No, he won't do
he's
it.
Just got a hot sauce business and a bar that sells chicken wings, essentially, with that hot sauce. So that's
it's like Breaking Bad, isn't it? He's like that man off Breaking Bad, isn't he? When you think about it.
I don't know that stuff.
You don't know that? Well, it's very similar. The man owns a chicken business, chicken business.
Okay, it's like that. All right. Well,
it's a cover for the meth.
Oh, okay. Well, Billy Mitchell pours scorn on Steve Wiebe's posted in score and thinks there's something afoot. So what happens next? Steve Wiebe wakes up and he realizes there's two of Mitchell's hired geeks rooting around in his garage to steal the arcade game. so they can validate the score.
So they can inspect the board that he's playing on the site to see if it's being doctored. Well, I've found out what they found actually. What they found out is that it's a board that plays, wait for it, Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., right, at the same time, which isn't allowed.
Okay, why? You can't play the both not games allowed, at the same time.
Because the noises on the game or something were from Donkey Kong Jr. rather than Donkey Kong, and that's what they actually went there to have a look at. They thought it was a bit odd.
So
also, we must say that this particular board is being sent by Mr. Awesome. Who also has a bit of a, let's say, a bit of a rivalry with Billy Mitchell. He's threatened his life.
So Mr. Awesome is called Roy Schilt.
Roy Schilt.
And he is Billy Mitchell's nemesis. And he won't have anything to do with him. So because Steve Wiebe has spoken to Roy Schilt, who has provided this game to him, Mitchell is like, there's no way we can accept this because Schilt is a bad guy.
He's a bad guy. He's threatened my life. And he's done a
when
video.
When does he threaten the life? Like, I don't...
It was said by Steve Saunders. Steve Saunders says he's threatened his life. And he also has also done a video, a guide, how to deal with girls.
Yeah, he's a pickup artist, isn't he? Like how these kind of guys can essentially sexually assault women.
and his beef is that his missile command score won't be accepted. That's his main beef.
But Wiebe doesn't know this, right? Wiebe doesn't know this issue.
He doesn't know it. He doesn't know. He thinks this guy's just doing it out of the kindness of his heart, buying him a board or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, that's not the case at all. He's got his own little nefarious plans.
Very suspicious of Schilt. So, yeah.
Exactly. So Mr. Weeby's got a go to a place called Fun Spot, which is the best of the spots, isn't it?
It's like, it's better than like beat a shit time spot.
Timeshare.
So, Billy Mitchell keeps saying, like, well, he's just got to come and do it in person. How can we trust it if we've never seen him do it in person? So Wiebe leaves his kids, travels across the other side of the country to do it in person. And Mitchell refuses to show his face, doesn't he?
He just refused to show his face. But what he does is sends his hired geeks in to try and put Weeby off.
There's a middle bit, isn't it? So he does go on his own to one where Mitchell doesn't turn up and he doesn't beat the score. He loses and he goes home again and he's kind of broken.
Uh-huh.
And his wife's like, fucking hell, man, not only was he away for a week, leaving me to look after the kids on his no salary because he hasn't got a job. He hasn't even won. And now he's like a shell of a man. He's been bullied by Billy Mitchell.
There's two parts to it. The first time he goes is to that fun spot place, and he does actually, I think, break the record then. So he breaks the record then. The second time is because of what happens at fun spot, doesn't he? So he goes, he breaks the record and stuff like that, even though Brian Q's behind him, sort of trying to put
Brian
him off.
Brian Q at this point, what a guy this fella is. He's a total, he's the biggest guy. He's got so chuffed that he's got like Billy Mitchell. I'm sure Billy Mitchell doesn't want to talk to this guy either, but he's ringing him.
Well, he does. He's doing his bidding. He's like Renfield off Dracula, isn't he?
He's doing the, he's basically going, well, why don't you go and try and put him off and all of that? Like you need to keep him informed.
Stand over his shoulder.
So the thing and with this Donkey Kong is when you get to the end, there's a kill screen and only a couple of people have ever seen this screen. Essentially, it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. Gets slightly harder every time. So when you get past a level, you just get to another level that looks the same, but the barrels and stuff like that will come differently. Where Steve Wiebe has mastered this is because he's got some kind of like photographic memory and this analytical brain for puzzles and repetition and equations and stuff. He's memorized that where all of these barrels and fireballs and stuff will fall in every one of these screens. So really then it's up to just his reactions. He knows what's happening. So he's not doing anything by chance. He knows what's coming. So he can get to the end. What happens is because it just goes over and over and over, the only way for it to end is if it essentially it just crashes. So you get to the last board after 99 boards or whatever, and you start one, and pretty much straight away, you just die, and that's it. You can't do anything, and the game's over. So this is what they call a kill screen, and only a few people have ever got to this Donkey Kong.
Yeah, they've never seen it,
And so he's getting close.
In the fun spot place, they've never, nobody's ever seen a kill screen. Certainly not Brian Q.
No.
He's touting himself as sort of like Billy Mitchell's second or whatever, second to him, even though he's rubbish at it.
He's really shit.
He's doing anything he can to put Steve Wiebe off, including going around everybody and saying, there's a kill screen coming up if you're interested, to every single person.
And he keeps having these sides to the camera. He could not be more chuffed. He's definitely walking around with a fucking semi on because he's getting these guys to go and put him off. He's like, yeah, he might be all right, but when there's an audience and pressure's on, like it takes something to be able to withstand that. Anyway, so he goes going around, everybody's playing on these games, it's whispering in their ears, possible kill screen coming up with Donkey Kong, possible kill screen coming up with Donkey Kong. These guys are like, yeah, I'm trying to get the fucking high score on Frogger here, or whatever it is that they're playing. But anyway, he does get a little crowd.
Frogger.
He does get a little crowd. And anyway,
Weeby does it. He's constantly on the phone to Billy Mitchell and he's sort of describing everything that's happened.
When he's in such a panic when he does it and he has to ring him and tell him that he's succeeded. He's like, he's proper shitting himself having to break this news to Billy Mitchell. And he tells him, Mitchell's furious. But he says, it's okay. I've got a plan. You'll see what Billy Mitchell's got up his sleeve. And then it cuts to Steve Wiebe and they're like, so well done. He's like, yeah, you know what? I was proper flagging because I've been playing for 8 hours or something. That was proper flagging towards the end. But then all these people came up and started watching us and it gave us a proper buzz. I got the energy back up and it meant I could concentrate. And I had the adrenaline to finish on a high. So like,
Q's going, no!
His plan's totally backfired. But what happens next with what's his name? Walter Day gives Wiebe's props and all of that, and all the other
puts
guys.
Puts his high score like, on the internet, doesn't
yeah,
he?
All the other guys are like kind of begrudgingly. It's weird, isn't it? Because you can see they're fickle. Now they're like, oh, so is this the guy that we have to follow now then? Because like obviously aye. Billy Mitchell's been the king and they're all under his spell kind of thing. But clearly they just want to like the guy who's the best one. So see they're all a bit confused and conflicted. But then anyway, Billy Mitchell, his master plan comes into play.
It certainly does. Billy Mitchell has sent the Q-Bird champion, which is an older lady. She's got the high score for Q-Bird. He sends her on a plane with a videotape, doesn't he? It almost like he knows that this guy's going to beat his score, whatever. Yeah. So it almost seems like within 5 minutes, Steve Wiebe's thunder has been taken away from him because this score is played in front of everybody. And wouldn't you know it, Billy Mitchell gets over a million points or whatever, the first person to do that.
He's, to be fair, it's played in front of everybody except Steve Wiebe because he's basically celebrating his win and giving him news. And while that's happening, Brian Q gets, he's again, so chuffed that he's got this videotape and he asks everybody to come and watch it. So they're all gathered around watching this tape and basically gets over a million and so he's rightfully top again. People listening might remember about 20 minutes ago when we said Steve Wiebe's videoed result was not accepted.
It was not accepted.
However, no. Billy Mitchell's accepted without question.
Without question.
Walter Day goes straight. He's like, I better update this fucking website again.
Even though we get like, you know, milliseconds of snapshots of his video, would you accept it, Cliff?
If ever I needed to show somebody what I meant by a .NET videotape, I would show them a clip of this.
Because on the left-hand side of the screen where the score is, it's just a big wavy line, isn't it?
Wavy line. Anybody who remembers like VCR, like VHS videotapes, you know, if they got a bit frayed or you'd re-record it over and over again.
Oh, the tracking was off.
Yeah,
remember the tracking button?
Yeah, you've got to fix the tracking. Sometimes towards the edges of the screen, it would get a bit like wobbly. Or maybe you might get another image overlaying for a kind of split second or whatever. Or the sound would go a bit and then it would right itself. This happens all the way through this videotape. Just over the bit where the score is. So it flashes and it suddenly goes...
Just over the bit where the score is.
It goes from like, he's on 1,000. Then it's like a little... He's on 8,000. He's on lo and behold, he's on a million and he's won.
He's on a million, yes, and he's won. So, I mean, it's blatant that this is a doctored thing. And Walter Day goes to him, oh, what was wrong with the videotape and stuff like that? He goes, oh, it was just a copy of a copy. That's what it is. I wouldn't send you the original. And they just accept the fact that, you know, he's done this, even though they know for a fact it's done, don't they?
Yeah, they clearly do. And but Wiebe says he comes back in and everybody's now celebrating Billy Mitchell being back on top. And he's like, well, can I watch it then? So what Wiebe thinks at this point is, well, Billy Mitchell's been able to watch all of my tapes to see what I've done.
Yeah.
However,
so why can't I watch?
So he's basically been able to just copy off what I've done to get my score. And in his opinion, that's how he's got that score because he hasn't seen it. He doesn't know it's clearly doctored. So he goes to Brian Q. Hey, can I have a look at this? And again, Q, proper chuffy on, is like, nope, one time viewing, you weren't there, you missed it.
He does. He's so chuffed with himself, isn't he? That guy, man. That guy's just...
I think he's the worst of all of them.
Oh, he definitely is. He's definitely the worst. He's just so slimy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just like a proper sniveling little weasel to Billy Mitchell. So,
absolutely shocking.
His result is overturned and Wiebe yet again.
Walter Day's back on the computer updating the scores, isn't he? He's putting Billy Mitchell's score on the internet instead. And then after this, the Guinness Book of Records contact Twin Galaxies and say, look, we trust you guys. We'll accept, whatever you say.
What we've seen of your
work
so far.
We'll take your scores and put them in the books.
Totally flawless work, guys. We accept... we don't know enough about computer games. You guys know the thing. So we're going to have world record scores for these games in the next issue of the Guinness World Records. So we'll use your scores can be the official ones, and we'll use that, which means
yes,
Billy Mitchell is going to be in the Guinness Book of Records, not Steve Wiebe.
Steve Wiebe. And that's what prompts him to go on to the next tournament, which is in Billy Mitchell's hometown.
Yeah.
In Florida.
That's it.
And that way he's trying to break the record to try and get in the Guinness Book of Records, basically. And the good thing is when he's driving to this particular tournament, he's in the back with his daughter, and he's talking to his daughter about going to this tournament and stuff, and what the Guinness Book of World Records is. And his daughter goes through, yeah, and some people destroy their own lives, won't they, to try and get in there? And he's like, there's no one to say.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, but dad, some people destroy their lives trying to get in there.
Yeah. It's like a 6-year-old kid who's just like brought down recent days.
While they drive to the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Try and do a Donkey Kong score.
So, I mean, what Wiebe wants, obviously, is to go head to head with Billy Mitchell, considering it's 10 minutes from his house.
Come and take us on.
Yeah.
Do it live. Then we'll see.
And he keeps also saying, you know, you've got to do it live. Do you know what I mean? You cannot rely on video tapes and stuff.
He hasn't played a game live since 1982 or something.
For 20 years. They even ask his wife, have you ever seen him?
Yeah, she's like, no.
Video games live? No. Never.
His mom and dad or something, aren't they? Like, his mom and dad.
It's
like, yeah, he'll do anything to get to the top. He's very devious.
He's very devious. He likes surprising people.
He loves surprising people, yeah.
He does. He does surprise.
What do you think of the bit with his tie?
I don't know. I think it's very weird. I think he's a very strange man, isn't
he? He's really weird, isn't he?
He's talking about... Lots of people come and ask us what my tag name is. What do you think it is?
Yeah.
And he's fiddling with his tie. T-Y-E? No. It's USA.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Because I've got Puerto Rican friends and I've got Canadian friends.
Yeah.
And I always like to keep the United States on top. What does that mean?
Don't know what he's on about.
What does that mean?
He talks about it for no reason and he's got this horrible... USA tie or he's weird. He's really creepy in that bit because I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, you're trying to create some kind of mystique. And
do you think he voted for Trump?
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt that Billy Mitchell's a Trump supporter.
No,
is he?
Probably no, self-made man.
That's what he's like, though, isn't he? He is like that. It's like this American ego or whatever. I mean, not just Americans. I mean, you know, they'd be all over the place, but. The ego is like off the charts, just like Trump, isn't it? Like you can just say whatever they want, behave how they want, and they'll get away with it type thing. Do you know what I mean? Because Mitchell's like that as well, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Even though he must know that everybody knows he's full of shit.
But he just keeps
going and it feeds his ego.
All
these minions are feeding his ego. This company, Twin Galaxies, feeding his ego. Everybody's just feeding him.
So it's gone to the point that it doesn't matter that he's not actually done this.
No?
Because the whole world that he lives in has accepted that he is this guy and that he's so good. So like, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So the tournament or whatever, it's in his backyard. Obviously, Wiebe goes there to try and get the world record, which he doesn't do. He does call him. He calls him out in a wrestling style for a challenge or whatever. Probably the filmmakers have told him to do that, I would imagine.
Yeah. But he's quite shy, isn't he? Like, he's the opposite of...
Yeah.
He's the opposite.
He is. He's quite a humble guy who just wants... He just wants something to say that, you know, yeah, I have broke that record or whatever, doesn't he? He just wants that one bit of recognition, doesn't he? And that's what makes that bit... where he does actually break the record and then he sends the tape. So interesting to watch and fascinating that this poor man's dreams have just been shattered like within the space of 5 minutes by this lying man sending this doctor videotape in. It's like fascinating that bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
The best bit of the film, I think. And it's just really good. I mean, it's like, it's just about the human condition, isn't it? It doesn't matter what it's about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, people will lie.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, you know, the ice skating and that, where they're, you know, breaking each other's knees and shit like that, isn't it? It doesn't matter what it is. People will always behave in this lying, nefarious way just to get to the top, won't they? Mm-hmm. It's a sad outlook on humanity, isn't it?
It is. So what happens is the Guinness World Records have a look at these tapes, I think, and go, hang on, lads. Walter, this tape of Billy Mitchell's where he's got this 1.1 million. What about all of this fucking static in that when you can't really tell what's going on? And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. because Twin Galaxies doesn't want to be discredited in the eyes of Guinness World Records, they go, yeah, actually, let us take a look at that. And they just discredit it and give Steve Wiebe the record again.
Well, they don't. That's not what happens. The Billy Mitchell throughout the whole documentary still has that record. Yes, okay. Until the last couple of seconds.
They're still talking about it. So
the whole idea of this tournament is so that you can try and then beat that world record, then to get in the book,
yeah.
You know, in the Guinness World Record book or whatever. So they know that it's fake and he's doctored it, but they just accept it. Do you know what I mean?
What happens is Wiebe goes to this. He doesn't make the record. He's played on it when Mitchell comes in. And Billy Mitchell walks past him with his wife and goes, obviously, there's some people that we want to be steering well clear of as he purposely walks past him.
And Steve Wiebe goes, oh, hello, Billy, or whatever, while he's playing.
Says hello.
And he just, like, he's doing the same thing that Brian Keough is, like, just hanging around and hoping that his simple presence, the fact that he's there, will just intimidate him.
It's a proper dick move, isn't it? Like,
really bad, eh?
So anyway,
and then they can say what they want, these people, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like about the end and stuff like that. But you can watch how they're behaving.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It's despicable.
Steve Wiebe goes home with his tail between his legs and breaks the record on his own again in the garage, doesn't he?
He does, because at the end of this thing, the Guinness World Records thing, Walter Day kind of apologizes to him for the treatments he's received by all these hired geeks.
Yeah.
And they'll now accept all of his videotapes. And he does break the record.
And I sent you a picture of my favorite bit of the thing, which is at the end, Walter Day and the other guys are like, you know what, Steve Wiebe, we've treated you really bad. That's when he says, that's not my name, actually, after about 12 years. that's not my name, actually. Because, yeah, you know what? We're treating you real bad. You're a great guy, a humble player, a real champion, a true champion in every sense of the word. We should have treated you better. We're really sorry. Like, we'll reinstate your scores. You deserve it. You know, like, thank you for coming. Thanks for sticking by us. We haven't treated you very well. What a great guy. Whatever. Then it cuts to Billy Mitchell and Steve Sanders,
his right-hand man,
sitting in a diner, and the documentary maker's like, so Billy, what do you think of what's happened? And he's like, well, I can't really say much about it. And he goes, what about you, Steve? And Steve says, you know what? And he like proper double crosses Billy in Billy's eyes. He's like, yeah, you know what? I've met him. He's a great guy. And clearly he's good at this game and his score should stand. I've seen him do it. His score should stand. And then go, and he's like proper apologetic. He's like, Billy. And Billy goes, I haven't spent enough time in the company of this man.
But he's sort of complete dagger through his eyes.
When he's talking, he is fucking furious with him for taking
because, you know, the cracks are starting to show. His minions are starting to turn on him. That's not in the script, is it? That's not what they say.
And then he says, well, what do you think? Like, what do you think about Steve? He just says, I haven't spent enough time in his company. This particular man, I think he says.
This particular man. I don't know enough about him. Don't know. And the thing is, I mean, because it pretty much ends like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The thing is, after, because this documentary, obviously, a lot of people have watched it and a lot of people know about it and stuff like that. Afterwards, there was a big sort of investigation in Billy Mitchell and his tapes and stuff like that, because blatantly doctored. And since then, all of his taped scores have been wiped off the record, right? Because obviously they're fraudulent, they're made up. So have you ever heard of an emulator?
Yes, I have, yeah.
So on those things, you've got things called save states where you can save the game. Obviously, that means that you're not playing through all the time. So if you make a mistake, you can go back to the save state, load it up again, and then keep going. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what he was doing. That's why it was jumping all the time. Exactly. What a bastard. So all of his scores since then have been wiped out. But it's all mute anyway because some other fella's the champion now.
Oh, well.
There you go.
It's just an amazing documentary. And I think what's good about it is it came out 2007. But since then, what we've got is a world or a large portion of the world that is obsessed with watching people play video games.
Yeah.
And there's millionaires who've made money being YouTubers playing video games. There's kids around the world what in the millions watch those people playing video games and being good at it and all of that kind of stuff. And in comparison, this is so small time and so like retro and of another era. I just think that it gets I think it's got it's added value, not of any of its own making since it came out, because of the world we live in now. It just has this extra little bit of like comparison, a little bit of context around it. It's so petty. Right. It's so petty. Like this is basically our website that the only people who look at it are the people that play it. Like OC are the best in the world. Like, and everyone, they're so desperate to be on it. Like you said, it shows like how people will stoop to lengths to be the best and to win. Like, or the wrong kind of people will do that in whatever field it is.
That's
like,
it could have been Tiddlywinks or something, couldn't it? You know, probably the same type of stuff's gone on there in the world of Tiddlywinks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is obviously a snapshot of arcade games and stuff like that. When you think of like some 17-year-old kids won $1 million or whatever for playing that game. What's that fighting game called? I can't remember.
Street Fighter.
No, the new one, man. Oh, what's it called? I don't know. Well, they do stupid dancing and stuff on it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Brad.
I know you don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, like the fact is that, you know, competitive gaming or whatever is big business now. People are winning millions. Do you know what I mean? And this is not like that at all, is it? It's a snapshot of an older time where none of that was going on. Why can't I remember the name of that game? It's because my son's too old and doesn't play on it anymore. I think that's where it is. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, well. This is an amazing documentary. People should watch it. Do you have a quiz for us about it?
No, because it's your turn.
I said, are you quizzing? And you said, yeah.
No, you didn't. When did you say that?
Well, ages ago, and we said we were doing it. Well, I don't have a quiz. You didn't. Do you want us to get a quick quiz?
If you want.
No preparation.
No preparation.
A quiz from the websites.
Ooh. Still fun, can't find one.
Fun quiz. That's what it's
fun
called.
Fun quiz. Is it about computer games?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Is it?
Classic arcade games quiz. Let's see.
Let's see.
We're just going to have to go over it. Who is not one of the ghosts in Pac-Man? Blinky, Inky, or Fred?
Fred.
That's correct. There are four ghosts. Blinky, Ooh. Pinky, Inky, and Clyde.
Clyde, eh?
And all like move Clyde. In different ways.
What does
the joystick control in Defender? Spaceship, alien, asteroid?
Spaceship.
Correct. Players use a joystick to control a spaceship used to destroy invading aliens and protect an astronauts on the surface of the planet. What cool feature did Galaxian offer that wasn't on Space Invaders? 3D glasses, voice control, or diving ships?
3D glasses.
I would have said that as well. No, it's diving ships. It was one of many Space Invaders clones introduced in 1979. But it offered one feature not found. Alien ships that could dive down out of formation for a more targeted attack.
Mm.
Okay, what tool can you use to flip all enemies on the screen in Mario Bros? A cherry?
What?
A mushroom? or a POW block?
POW.
POW. Yes. POW. Hitting the POW block would flip all enemies onto their backs, but the block could only be used 3 times and then it would disappear. Okay.
There you go.
Which was of the following was not a threat in Centipede? Cockroaches, spiders, or scorpions?
Cockroaches.
Correct. To win Centipede, you have to avoid a host of obstacles, including spiders, scorpions, and fleas. Not to mention
scorpions and fleas.
Fleas. Not to mention the screen filled with dangerous mushrooms. Okay.
Fleas.
What kind of creature is Coily from Q-Bert? An ape, a spider, or a snake?
Snake?
Snake. Correct.
Wow.
Use a life when you run into Coily the snake or cross path with a pair of purple bad guys named Ugg and Rogway. What classic game featured a ship named Blaster? Is it Space Invaders, Tron, or Tempest? Was Tron actually a game? No, Tron? Tempest. 1981 game. Players guide a ship named Blaster down a 3D tunnel while destroying obstacles using a super zapper.
I don't really know. Tempest, I've heard of that one before.
There's thousands of questions here, mate. You've done quite well. Do you want to quit while you're ahead?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yes, let's quit. I still can't remember the name of that game, but there you go. Warcraft. I was even looking for it while answering the questions. Nah.
Okay.
I don't know. Hold on, ask Lena.
Mortal Kombat?
It's called Fortnite.
Oh, that one, okay.
That's what that person won, $1 million.
$1 million, okay.
$1 million, yes. Yes, good documentary. Well done with the quiz.
Well, I thought it was all right. It was a little ad hoc, but there we go.
Ad hoc?
What about the music, Brett?
Yes, we got music this week from the Skydiving Penguins.
Yes, we dive.
We dive. Yes, we dive.
Yes, we
this one's called This Is Breaking Me Apart. It's a very good one.
It is, isn't it? Check I like it this out. One. Where are these guys from?
They're from London, I think, but also from Georgia, I would say. I might have made that
the
up.
The country or the state? The brainchild of Gia Yashvili. It certainly sounds
there you go,
Georgian.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, these are good. They've been going a long time, actually. Really good. Glad to have these guys on. So, yes, let's play it. Thanks very much for this.
Play it and enjoy.
I think you'll enjoy my suggestion for next week or whenever we do it. See you later.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.